This podcast is scheduled for one fall. Now residing in the Quad Cities, Dave in the QC and his tag team partner from Rochester, New York, this is RJ. Today's episode is powered by The Skin Store. For over 20 years, The Skin Store has been the number one destination for premium skincare, hair care, and beauty products. With over 8,000 different products from 300 different brands, The Skin Store has you covered for all your hair, cosmetics, supplements, and, of course, skincare needs. Find your favorite brands like Alta MD, New Face, Olaplex, and more all in one place with gifts with every purchase. Right now, the Skin Store is offering our listeners 20% off your next purchase by using the code POD. That's code P-O-D for 20% off your next purchase at skinstore.com/pod.list. Skin Store, have the confidence to tackle the day ahead. Exclusions apply. It is Friday. It is 9 a.m. You know what that means. Another great episode of the Ringside Rant. Today, Dave and I have the proud honor of having a WWE legend and a wrestling legend in general, Mr. Savio Vega. Savio, welcome to the show. Thanks for doing this, man.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me. And it's a pleasure. And all the fans that are watching or listening to us right now, a lot of blessings to all, and a todos los hispanos. Les habla Tío Savio Vega desde Puerto Rico. Muchas bendiciones a todos.
Dave, you understood that, right?
He lost me at Quang.
I just say to all the fans that listen to us, a lot of blessings for them.
Yeah. No, it's definitely, we're both really big fans. We grew up in that time frame where you started with the WWF there back in the early 90s to mid 90s. But it, like I said, it's extremely proud to have you on and happy to have you on. First and foremost, I can't help but want to ask about this. You're involved with MLW now. And
yes.
I saw your match with one Richard Holiday. A strap match. And I a little controversy into that match, but still can go, man. I was thrilled to see you out there and still putting it up with the best of them with MLW. How are you liking working with that company?
I love working with Cole Bauer and MLW. It's good. Why? Because they have, 95% of the of the talent are second generation and third generation wrestlers, and all those guys want to make it to the top. And you have players like Jacob Fatu, what a performer. You have Hammerstone, you have Richard Holiday. I mean, you have a bunch of guys. They're great guys. They're looking to be on top of the mountain, and MLW is doing the difference. You see the production of the shows, you see almost simultaneous, like three matches, in different times. You see all the vignettes they doing. I mean, they're working hard to have this company, in good position in the world of wrestling. Mm-hmm.
So yeah. You just said Jacob Fatu, and that name will probably ring a bell with some people. They start thinking about Fatu, because one of my favorite wrestlers of all time is Rikishi. What's the relation with Rikishi and Jacob Fatu?
They're family. They're family. They're from the annoying family. And I love to see Rikishi in at the MLW. Of course, I mean, I believe he have a contract with WWE, and he could go nowhere. But yeah, they're relative. And of course, when there are some ones, they're all family, like all we are Puerto Ricans. You see Puerto Rican in a different place, and you Puerto Rican, hey, you're going to be my brother. You're going to be the kid. So, yeah, they're family. Yes.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Yeah, I was a huge, I liked him start from the start with the head shrinkers. I was a big fan. And then it kind of spiraled out to he was Fatu, the man making a difference. And then
when the first time that I met Fatu was here in Puerto Rico, working with the WWC, the logo that you see back there. I worked with him here in Puerto Rico. Then we got together in Japan. From Japan, he went to WWF. By the time, that's when I went there, and we reunite. And with Yokozuna, with Rodney, you got Undertaker, you got Paul Bearer, you got all those guys, and that great, great, beautiful people. They are no longer with us, but you know, we got, let's say Yoko and Undertaker put together the BSK. So you got Papa Chango, you got the Garwins, you got Savio Vega, you got all those tough guys, let's call it that way. I mean, together we are, we have just love and a lot of respect. And we never have an argument. We always together everywhere we go. And man, a lot of respect, like I said before.
Yeah, I had that in my notes here. I think you guys went by the moniker of the Bone Street Crew backstage.
Somebody say that Bone Street Crew. I was like, what the hell is that? That don't mean not that, but that's okay, you know. BSK it's a brotherhood. We have the chance or the privilege to be together at the SummerSlam. So was SummerSlam? Yes.
Yeah. This past year.
With the Undertaker. And
Survivor Series, wasn't it?
And man, it was good to see the Garwins, good to see the Taker. I mean, we have good time.
Good stuff. One quick question about the BSK though. Who was the best Domino's player in BSK?
Savio Vega.
That's all we thought.
We all play. We sit down and have fun, you know, and everything was always an argument between Taker and Papa. Always, come on, this and that. No, you have to throw this and blah blah blah. But always was a laugh and have fun when we are together.
Yeah,
that's awesome. That's real friendship and true brotherhood right there.
Oh yeah,
and it's great to hear stories about that in wrestling.
Yes.
So I wanted to start. We know that you had a lot of success in Puerto Rico prior to ever coming to WWE. I mean, you won numerous heavyweight titles. You won numerous television championships. What is going through your head when you've signed with WWE and you're going to be given a Japanese martial arts gimmick under a mask?
Well, I was already out of Puerto Rico wrestling for maybe a year, and I went to Japan. So I was working just in Japan by the time when I told Bam Bam Bigelow, rest in peace, man, to say hello to Scott Hall, Razor Ramon. We wrestled here in Puerto Rico under WWC many, many times. So I say, you know, tell the man, I say hello, because I saw that, you know, he have a good gimmick now, a good character there, going strong. So, hey, it's my friend. I tell him, I say hello. So, in return, when Bam Bam Bigelow come back, he handed me his number. He said, here's Scott's number. Call him. He's going to be such a day at home. He want to talk to you. So, I called Scott, and Scott says to me, I talked to the old man, and he's willing to give you a tryout. So, you're going to have a tryout this such and such a day. I said, well, I have a tour in Japan. So when I come back, I'm going to tell them to fly me to Syracuse. So that's exactly what they did. And I did my tryout as a TNT, because I was doing the TNT character, the painting. They don't want to use the paint. They have in mind do something with somebody else with painting. And so they say, well, let's put you a mask and let's call you Quan. So Quan was you know, as a TNT with the mask. I said, yeah, why not? I mean, anyway, when I signed the contract, don't say that you're going to pay me more with mask or without mask. So I say, hey, let's do whatever they need. So I did the character. I love the character. The character was strong. A lot of people believe in that character. Why I say that? Because the day I wrestled Bret Hart was a Raw, was taping. Because before WWF was live 1 week, taped the next week. So we taped that next week, and they plugged that match, of course, on television during the week. And we break the ratings of that segment when that match come on. So that tell me the people believe the character, you know, the Quan could beat Bret Hart in that match. So, of course, they did what they have to do. Bret was next to wrestle somebody in an upcoming pay-per-view. And I love the character. I love the character Quan because, like I said before, it was TNT just with a mask. I told them when they wanna do the character, I said, well, you need to have me a mask where you cover my eyes because you cannot see nothing oriental on me. The only thing you see oriental on me is the kicks. So we agree and we come up with the cover my eyes. That's why Quan was with the black curtain in his eyes. So you cannot see that I'm not oriented.
Well, I really loved The Mist. That's always been a favorite of mine. So you had The Mist, so that was great. I loved it.
Yes.
So we had the Quang there with when you aligned yourself when you first came in. 95 rolls around. You debut with Razor in your house there. What's going through? Obviously, you've been there before, like you said, as Quang. What's going through your mind when you're going through that curtain and with Razor? You know, there's rumor out there that's a possibility of you and Razor going for the tag straps too, against Yoko and Owen.
Owen, yeah.
How there's, like I said, that some of it says that Razor acts that, some of it, you know, what happened? You know, were you aligned to do that feud or no?
Yeah, we have a match. We have the match on TV. It was a great match. It's on YouTube. I have the chance to watch it, a couple of months ago. And it was a great match between Owen. I worked with Owen, rest in peace, and Yoko also worked with those guys, single matches. And as a tag team, was a lot better. And, I mean, you got four professionals inside the ring, including the referee, five professionals inside that ring. But Razor no wanna tag team a championship because he always says that company is a single man company. He's single man champion or something like that. So he don't wanna be tag team with belts or being a strap with nobody. I said, man, let's do one run. Let's see how it works. No, he don't wanna do it. Blah blah blah. So I didn't even say nothing. I just quiet. You don't want to do it. You don't want to do it. I don't want to argue or fight about that. You know? So that was what the reason why they end up putting the belts on us, because Razor don't want to do, tight team.
Yeah. So is that match you're talking about? Is that the one on Raw that Raw ended early or didn't end early, but the match was still going? So then they were going to redo the match the following week.
No, I don't think so. The match finished that I remember. I don't know if, for TV purpose, if they did something, maybe they did it backstage,
I think it was like, it was built that way around, because I remember watching it, and it, it's coming up, so I'm like, okay, the match is going to end anytime. It's almost 10 o'clock or whatever the case was.
Yeah.
And it's still going, so they ended and said, we're going to have a rematch next week. And so I'll have to go back digging through it.
Yeah, check on it. But the point is, Razor don't want to do, he don't want to be attached as a tag team, belts, whatever. He have in mind other stuff to do. So I never have a belt in WWF. I never, So I believe it's his characters in wrestling that you don't need to put a belt on it. I all the characters that you have to put the belt on it, because whatever, you're going to push him to another level and be the tough guy being where he win all the belts and he's the you know, whatever. And all the guys that you don't need to put belts on.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, have you ever been to that point where you've been in the wrestling business a long time? Have you ever gotten to that point where somebody says, hey, let's try this or let's try that? And you said, hey, you know, maybe we shouldn't do that. Have you ever been decline a certain angle or certain match, or you try not to let like personal feelings get into the way?
Well, no, I believe since I learned sorry, how to work here in Puerto Rico, I learned, and I was teach with people where I was willing to do whatever they want. Hey, we need you to do this. Of course, if you have to say something about what come the end of the match, how it's going to be done, and my idea or somebody else's idea will be better for the match, of course you have to say something. Why not? I mean, what you do is contribute to make it better. I mean, you don't want to do it, but worse, you know, especially if it's your match. So, yeah, and I remember my arguments maybe was about to make better finish, to make better match. Of course, to level. Sometimes I did stuff to the other guy where, hey, you're going to look better doing this. If you want to do that, let's do it. I don't have a problem, but if you do this, you're going to look better. That's for you, not for me. You're not going to be there. I'm going to be your base to do whatever you want.
Right. So that was 95, where you came in your house. We'll fast forward to In Your House, Beware of Dog, 96 there, with Stone Cold, with that classic Caribbean strap match that if there's, I always tell everybody, if there's one strap match that you want to watch within the last number of years, go watch this one. It's absolutely, it's brutal. It's phenomenal.
That's good. You know, and we have to do it twice.
Exactly. That's where you know where I'm going with this. It's great.
Yeah, you got to do it in the dark the first time.
how do you adapt to that when that happens?
Well, if you see the tape, when I come in down the aisle, the camera is on me 1 second. That's when the light is strike. No lights. We killed like 5 minutes, you know, waiting till the lights come back. Nothing happened till Bruce Prichard approached to me. I was outside killing time. Steve is inside with a strap. That's when they say, hey, go. You just start the match. Because the light, I believe, is going to take forever. And it took forever. So we did like, I don't know, 20, 25 minutes, maybe more. No lights. So till they say, okay, go home. We did our routine. Come back to the dressing room. We just relaxed. Till Pat Patterson come and says, guys, on Tuesday you have to do the match again because nobody watched the pay-per-view. So we have to showing to the people on encore. So we are like, let's do it. So that's when they say, and you go half an hour. So they added 5 more minutes to the match. And, you know, let's say, let's do it. To be honest, I love the first match, the one in the dark. Than the second one. The second one, we had a few things here, but we already all bruised up, you know, and it's a little hard, but we work hard. Steve worked hard. He never complained. We take care of each other. We beat the hell out of each other. But I mean, I believe it was still one of the great matches of the Caribbean strap match.
Yeah. What goes through your mind prior to having a strap match or something like that, where you know that for the next 20 minutes, you're going to get the shit beat out of you with a strap? I mean, it doesn't matter how big you are or anything. Yeah. Getting hit with a belt or a strap, it hurts. So yeah. How do you mentally prepare yourself for what's about to come?
I come in already prepared for Puerto Rico. We do that type of match in Puerto Rico, and we do the heavy matches. I mean, barbed wire, you got the chain matches in the neck and the wrist, the strap. I mean, all kind of gimmicks. So we already coming prepared to do anything in the WWF by the time. And he said, let's beat the hell out of each other, man. Let's have fun inside there. And I guess we did.
The recent WWE, the bump you're on, I watched a couple times. Okay. You're on, and yeah. In previously I learned this as well, is Steve Austin really credited you a lot with getting him in ring shape when he came in. You had the ability to work with guys coming in like a Steve Austin, like a Rock, like a Triple H. Is that something that, you know, whether it be Bruce Prichard, whether it be Pat Patterson comes to you and says, hey, we want to get these guys, these are young guys that we really want to get a good eye on. Is that something that you've prided yourself on? And, you know, over the years,
I believe, when I wish to have, of course, Pat Patterson live right now, and I never crossed my mind, to be honest, to ask him why you picked me to do that match. I mean, by the time he was nobody, I was nobody. So it's like, okay, guys, you're gonna have a match. I believe they picked me because I come in from the school in Puerto Rico, and I could go either way, left or right. You know, up and down. I could go, you know, by the time I was in good ring shape, I already was doing Kwan. So I was already a year before Steve arrived. And we did a bunch of matches nonstop, man. We got into the ring. We go 15 minutes up and downs. You know, we work hard in that ring to get the reaction of the people. That's what I learned in Puerto Rico. How to get the reaction, how to get the people in my pocket, have the people behind the match and be the best match of the night. And that's what I did with Steve all the time. We worked so hard and we come up with different stuff that nobody was doing. One of the things that I learned here in Puerto Rico was the old time told me, watch the matches. So you learn how to work. So that's what I did. So in WWF, and at that time, I watched the rest of the matches, you know, before my match and after my match, I sit down to take my boots or whatever and start watching the matches because I don't know when I'm going to work with those guys. When I worked with Rock the first time, I mean, knowing WWF by that time was in Bahamas. He was green. And we work hard. We work, you know, to get the timing that he needs. When we come back in WWF, of course, we work hard in that ring. Same with Hunter. Hunter come from WCW already. He have the experience. Steve, why is one of the questions that I had before, why we have such a good chemistry from the first match? Because we never crossed each other. But I remember, I never remember him when I was in Louisiana or another territory. So why we have a great chemistry? Because it's coming from that one book of wrestling, basic. The timing, the spots, take your time, watch the people, et cetera, et cetera. And we coming from that school. Of course, when we got together in WWF, we got 20x20 ring, bigger. He don't have that. WCW have a smaller ring. So that's why he say he got me in good ring shape because we work hard, man. We beat the hell out of each other. Like I said before, we never hurt each other. And every time he come up with something new, let's do it.
Like, but I remember they used the second match as the way to write off Ted DiBiase. So the match that you were having the second night was if you beat Stone Cold Steve Austin, Ted DiBiase would leave the WWF forever.
Yes, that's when he already had the business with WCW.
Right. Which, so he ended up showing up in WCW. Helped me a lot.
Yeah, that helped me a lot. You know, I remember Pat that day say, Savio, come on. I said, yes. He said, you know how to sing? I said, nah. He said, you're going to sing tonight. I'm like, oh, are you kidding? He said, no, you're going to sing tonight. I said, I don't know. My English is bad. You know, he's like, no. Here, this is what you're going to sing. Na. And he told me. I said, okay, I can do that. So, you know, you're going to put everybody to sing. And that's what we did. And hey, you got the people hooked because the bad guy lost and the good guy won. And was, you know, all was to have fun inside the ring, do what we love, which was, you know, wrestling. And man, if I have to do it again, I do it again, to be honest.
Well, by the end of 96, you're now going to be switching over to a heel role. What's going through your mind when they're telling you you're going to join the Nation of Domination with Farooq and Crush?
I love it. Love it. I love the character heel. I love to be a heel. And when they tell me that, they say, I'm going to turn you right there at the Madison Square Garden, where all the time Savio Vega, you know, as a Puerto Rican, perform over there. And you got the Puerto Ricans behind the wrestler, Puerto Rican. And man, that's
yeah, great. I was hot. I was real hot with you for that because I was a big Ahmed Johnson fan at that time. Yeah. Huge Ahmed Johnson fan. So I was not real happy with Savio Vega. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
And I end up, I actually met you earlier in 96. Well, didn't really meet you, but I'm originally from Tampa. WWF came to Tampa, Florida. You guys did a house show at the Sundome.
Okay.
I want to say the third match of the night, you beat Stone Cold Steve Austin. And then a couple matches after that, they did the intermission. You can go get autograph from Savio Vega at intermission. So I ran up and got your autograph. And then when you turned on Ahmed Johnson, I ripped it up, threw in the trash.
Now that autograph cost $2 million. See, you throw $2 million right there at the trash can. Oh my God.
Such a mark I was. Such a mark.
Well, but that's good. Yeah. You know what? That's good because, I mean, that was the good work of the performance that we did in the ring, where we got the attention of the people, we got the eye of the people, you got the brain, you got the heart, because what we did inside the ring is that work to get that reaction. You know,
what a lot of people are missing when it comes to professional wrestling. Well, everybody wants people. They want to, you know,
my friend,
my wife, for people, for example,
they work for them.
It's everybody just says, well, it's fake. It's how do you get into that? Well, I mean, you let yourself believe just like you do with a movie. I mean, you go to watch any movie, any TV show, whatever, you feel yourself just getting into it and watching it, enjoying the show. So I like to watch the wrestling show and then the storylines that are built around it. And it makes you believe and you really think about these characters that are there. And yeah, I know that Savio Vega in real life is probably a great guy, but I can hate the guy on TV without it interfering with anything. Mm-hmm. And that's what's so great about it. And it's great that you love being able to, you know, be a face or be a heel or whatever. And, you know, some wrestlers play better on one side or the other.
Because you dominate what you do. When you dominate what you do, you could play anything. You say one word, you say word fake. The other day I watched Vampiro, the Canadian guy, do a interview they did with him, some tape. And he said, well, if wrestling is fake, I mean, we hurt each other. We hurt our necks, shoulders, back, mm-hmm. knees, bad night, good night, good days, good payday, bad paydays, headaches. You miss your kids' birthdays, anniversaries. I mean, you lost friends on the road. What is fake about that?
Exactly.
I mean, if it's fake, why the people don't do it? If it's so fake, it's like you. Why you not go in and really do it? You know, because it's like, well, but you're a wrestler. Of course, because I love what to do, what I do in the ring, my first love with wrestling was through the television. And when I see the ring and I see those guys inside the ring, I was shocked. I was like, I mean, hey, 40 years later, I still here. And you know what? When I was a kid, I do my cards. I do championship belts. Mm-hmm. I call my friends to do a card. I put names on them. And sometimes when I do that, my ring was, you know, was on the floor. That's my ring. And some of the guys come. Sometimes the guy never show up, and I disappoint because I believe my future was to be inside the wrestling business, you know. And like I say, I'm still here. And I learned how to do the real wrestling, do the real business inside and out. Television, I mean, performing, the talk, you name it, from A to C. I believe I'm capable to run and do the good wrestling that we need. Another thing to say is a lot of people, you mentioned something, I try to remember. The new generation don't have that timing to turn around to the left, to the right, front or back to watch the fans. They work for them, and it's bad. Somebody probably listened to this interview and gonna say, oh, because we don't have no fans now. But moron, a year ago you have fans and you do the same thing, you know? So why you don't stop and cut in half all those jumping moves, do it with good timing, work for the fan to get that fan up their chair to cheer you, to go behind you, to tell a story inside the ring. Oh, I'm not in a company, so I don't need a big story. Of course you don't need a big story. I agree with you, but you can do a story inside the ring right there for that night show. I mean, don't tell me you cannot do it, because I've been doing it a million times. So, I mean, I don't have to be in ABCD company, you know, to have a hot story to perform inside the ring and tell the people, I'm going to make you get up from your seat. I want to make you be happy. Go back home and talk about, in your way home, about the car and say, I love this, the match of Savio Vega and Stone Cold Steve Austin. I love the Savio Vega match against blah, 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 you know? That's what I do. I love to do that. I love to you know, get the fan happy.
And that's all it's about. You know, that wrestling show where I got your autograph, that was the first live wrestling show I ever went to in my life. Wow. And my dad still to this day makes fun of me that when the music hit, he goes, I could see the veins in your neck. You were screaming so loud. Wow. But it's always been, no matter what, it's always been something that I loved, and nobody in my family has ever liked it. You know, I fell in love with Hulk Hogan when I was 3 years old. I remember, you know, WrestleMania 3, 4, my kind of earliest memories is WrestleMania 5.
Yes.
But I've always liked it, and I've always had my family deter me from watching it, and I never let it. And it didn't matter to me. One guy says, it's still real to me, damn it. I enjoy it, and it is real to me because it's so much fun, and you can really enjoy it, and don't let it, you know, you can't, I mean, nobody watches Superman and go, well, that's not real. Well, exactly. Yeah. So why can't I watch this and just enjoy it and live my life? I'm not bothering you. Let's just do it. Love it.
Right here. We are training some actors for a movie that is going to run here in Puerto Rico. And so I'm training those guys. And of course they're actors, but when they got in the ring and we start doing a wrestling routine, you're like, oh my God, it's like, I can breathe. It's hard. It's this. So I say, imagine that we have to be thinking, what is the next move? How am I going to perform to get that old lady, old man, or anybody to get up from their seats? You know, I have to have good shape to be running in the ring, to don't hurt myself or hurt my opponent. I mean, it's so many things that we do inside that ring that we love it. When you put all those 50 movement of thinking, looking here, bumping or whatever together in just one line, I mean, you cook. You are doing the great of wrestling, and like I said before, I'll go for 40 years, man, and I still love it. I still love it.
One Night Stand in 1997.
Yeah, One Night Stand. Yeah, it was
WWF tag team titles, the Headbangers versus Miguel Perez Jr. and Savio Vega.
Yes, check that match, and you could see how the, you know, Miguel and me, we managed the how to position the referee, how to position the guys. I mean, we have the experience big time to work inside the ring. Check that match, and you could see Miguel and me, we come in from Puerto Rico to work many times. Japan, Puerto Rico, WWF, and man, check that match and send me a comment how you see the way we work in the ring, the way we did what we did inside the ring, position the guys to do the next move and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but yeah, that was that time frame there. That was a lot of people have said that was that time when everybody, there was always factions and everybody, like you said, you always mention, you know, DOA, Nation of Domination.
You had the Disciples of Apocalypse, the Los Barriquas, the Nation of Domination, and then later on you had the Truth Commission come in.
Oh, yeah.
Because
that
year's Survivor Series was called Gang Rules. The infamous Survivor Series was Gang Rules. And then
I was there. I didn't even remember those names.
My wife tells me I remember the dumbest stuff.
No.
She'll tell me, she'll be like, hey, I need you to go downstairs and take some hamburger out of the freezer. Okay.
you open it.
Then she'll come home. Did you take the hamburger out of the freezer? What hamburger?
What, you crazy?
You never told me this.
It's true. It's like a baseball fans. They know the name of every player in the team. And some guys I know in the United States, he probably know everybody's, team and everybody, you know, even the umpires, whatever. I mean, because they follow the teams. They love that. Same as football. So in wrestling, it's the same. In wrestling, you can watch all these guys and say, oh, this guy got this guy, this guy, this guy. I remember such a match because make an impact to you. So I still remember a bunch of guys in my era when I was starting. You know, I remember the stories that they did by that time before I become a real mark. So, you know, I love the way wrestling is done. And I believe, until I die, I'll be here.
So what's the restrictions on getting to Puerto Rico right now with COVID?
No, you buy a ticket, I come down and behave.
Well, I'm taking the wife to see AEW in Jacksonville for Memorial Day. But I'm thinking I think I might need to plan a trip to Puerto Rico to go to a show.
I mean,
if I take her to these nice places, she'll go.
Too much wrestling right now. They planning to open probably for June to have like 30% of the people in the buildings. But that still don't know because
I might have to shoot for a 2022 trip with the old lady. I'll have to shoot you a message on Twitter one day. Maybe I'll be able to take you out to dinner or something. We'll figure this out.
Of course.
I've never been to Puerto Rico, so I want to come down and go to a WWC show and see something different.
Yes. Now we running a good story between the IWA Puerto Rico, which is my company, and WWC. So I mean, it's a hot story that we are crazy, so the people behave, so we could do shows at the buildings because I mean we want to sold out those buildings, man.
Yeah, I was.
I think I might be onto something here. This might be a good idea.
No, I was down. I was down in Puerto Rico a couple of years ago for my stepbrother's wedding. He got married down in San Juan, and absolutely love the area. And
it, matter of fact, that's why I say you face it familiar. This is the guys that crush all the wedding, and they walk all over the ceiling of the cars, breaking windshields and all that. You know,
No, that's, I swear that wasn't me. It was my twin.
That sounds like something I would do.
Yeah. No, but yeah, it was great. It's the only airport I've flown into where you get off and there's like kiosk and kiosk of liquor. Yeah. And I'm like,
yes.
All right, this is, that's my trip to Puerto Rico is why I quit drinking liquor after a while. So, but
not alcohol.
No, yeah. No. No more vodka and cranberry juice after this wedding.
No.
But to go back on that Los Boricuas, you mentioned Miguel there. For those of you that aren't familiar with Los Boricuas, Miguel was the guy that had, he was gifted with a lot of hair.
The fur. You got the carpet of hair. Yes.
Did you ever play ribs on him with that?
No, never. You know what I mean? It was normal for us when you know, as a young, know him, he was hairy like crazy. And but no. One time he come shaved, we are like, what the hell are you doing, man? And let's say 1 week later, he's already, you know, he's a hairy guy. Mm-hmm. Crazy.
What's it like wrestling against a real hairy guy like that with all the sweat and...
Yeah, well, normal, I believe, yeah. I need to concentrate in that and just, you know, continue. I talked to his wife one time, she said, every day I have to have the vacuum and bed because when he get up, he left all the, he looked like a dog.
Like a German shepherd just rolled out of the bed. Yeah,
like a Shih Tzu, old hair all over the place.
Well, later on in your run, so back we're now in 1998, WWE, whatever you want to call it, they come up with this Brawl for All. What are your thoughts on the Brawl for All? And do you think it was a good idea, bad idea? Would you like to see it again or what?
Well, when they call us and I wasn't home, getting the tent machine on my neck, I was having the C7 vertebrae pinching my nerve, and I wasn't home in my recliner with ice on it, the tent, electric shocks on it. And that's when Bruce Prichard called me. He said, hey, Savvy, we have this idea, a show called Brawl for All. It's going to be a fight. They're going to pay this kind of money. You win or lose, you know, you're going to make that money. And he said, you interested? I said, are you kidding me? He's like, no, this is real. I said, well, yeah, why not? But I said, remember, my neck is hurt. So don't worry. It's not going to be next month. It's going to take a little more time. I said, put me on. So, okay. So he called a crew of people. We have a big meeting next to the ring to pull the rules because wasn't no rules. So the rules are takedowns. If it's knockout, it's knockout, you're out. They cut the kicks because the only guy that kicks was me. So they say, well, no kicks because Savio's going to kill everybody with the kicks. We don't know how to kick. You know, he's going to kill everybody. So I said, come on, guys, put me over. Come on. So no kicks, just takedowns. And I said, well, let's do it. You know, why not? I see a video of Jim Cornette say that was crazy, that was stupid. They kill a lot of guys. I mean, that killed everybody. The ones that bar gun, knocked down, man, out. I lost my second fight against Dross, God bless him. It was fun, man. If I have to do it again, not this time, but that time, yeah, of course, why not? I mean, hey, you like to fight? You get in a ring with blokes. And, I mean, we are not a boxing shape because you have the mouthpiece on and the glow. I mean, you got you go crazy. I mean, you can breathe. At least was what, 1 minute, 2 minute round?
They were like 1 minute rounds. They're pretty quick.
Yeah.
I remember your first fight in the Brawl for All was against Brackus.
Yeah.
Well, that big Jack dude that you, I mean, he couldn't even hardly move.
Well, you know, this is what I was thinking when they say you're gonna fight him. I say, well, I need to try to knock this guy out because if he catch me with those 4x4, he's gonna kill me. So I come in with my neck hurt, you know. I went inside the ring, you know, hurt. So, hey, I said, let's go. I cry, you know, go cry somewhere. So I have to do something, because if not, if he punched me one of those 4x4, he's going to, you know, knock me out. So I did what I have to do.
All right. Well, you bloodied him up. His nose was all busted. Yeah.
Broke his nose.
And I think that was pretty much the end of him and his WWE run.
After that, he disappeared. I never have the chance to see him or talk to him again. I don't know. I hope he's good. You know, he's okay. But I never know nothing about
you can't him. Really find much on him anymore.
Great guy.
I remember. I went to a Raw. It was the Raw after In Your House, It's Time. So it was in Tampa. And it was in December of 96. And he wrestled in one of the dark matches against who? It was the wrestler who? I think it was Jim Neidhart in a mask.
Maybe, yes. I remember.
And everybody was amazed at how big he was. So we had, my buddy and I, we had front row seats. And we actually got backstage passes. We got to go up in one of the suites and meet some of you guys. Because my buddy's dad was good friends with the Briscoes. So he owned a funeral parlor company in Tampa. And you guys used to do some of the casket matches, and that's where they'd get their caskets.
Nice.
So we got free front row tickets, and we got to go backstage and meet you guys.
You see that huge guy?
Well, he wasn't there, but I got to meet you, Bradshaw, Ahmed Johnson, Mark Henry was there. And I remember that I never thought that you guys were as big as they said you were until I had front row. Because the first time I ever went to wrestling, I wasn't in front row. So I was, you know, probably in row 30 something, you know, up in the bleachers. And I had front row, and I was just amazed at how big you guys really are. I mean, there's no way these guys are that big.
I was the shorter one. The rest of the guys are huge.
Well, my little brother and I met Crush and The Undertaker bowling one time.
Huge.
And I'll always remember that they're holding bowling balls, and it looked like a normal human's holding a softball.
Yeah.
Their hands were so big. Undertaker's drinking beer out of the pitcher. So he's not even using, I mean, literally he's using his pitcher as his beer mug.
Yeah.
And my little brother walks up to Crush and says, "Hey, how come you're not wearing your tattoo on your face?"
That's true. I took it off and put it on. That's true.
But I mean, they couldn't have handled it any better. We were too little, you know, I was 14 or so. My little brother was 10. He and I were the only ones that watched wrestling. So we go up there and we didn't even bother him. I have this thing about seeing celebrities out in person that I don't ask for autographs or anything like that.
Okay.
So it's usually just kind of a, like, I know who you are, but I'm going to leave you alone. So we just kind of went over and looked, and then Crush just kind of came over, and that's when my little brother said the tattoo thing to him. But they couldn't have been any nicer. They were both there with their, I guess, their wives, and we weren't going to bother them. But it was, it's just surreal to see how big and how wide these guys really are. It's scary.
Huge guys. That's true. Big guys.
RJ, what you got?
So let's go with the current product. I know we're doing a lot of stuff in Puerto Rico there. How does it differ from starting in Puerto Rico than it does in the States? Is it that big of a difference? Is the training different, or how does
the difference of advantage, let's call it that way, that I have from the rest of the guys was that Puerto Rico have wrestling every week, every weekend. You know, it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or Thursday, sometimes 7 days a week, but we work every week. I mean, in that way was better for the, you know, upcoming guys, because you learn, because you are working all the time, every day. So whatever mistake you make on Friday, somebody sees you, Saturday you have to fix, Sunday you have to fix, next week you have to fix, you know, you have the time to and get better and better. The punches, the kicking, whatever, anything, you know, that you have to fix, you have the chance to do it. And the States was a little bit different with some of the guys because, you know, you have to be at such a whatever company to wrestle all the time. If not, was like we call it indie. And they do what shows once a month or something like that. And some guys, of course, come up with great timing inside the ring. Others took maybe long because they don't have a teacher or somebody to help them, or don't have the advantage of work every week, you know. So, I mean, I have that advantage and help me a lot.
Yeah, because you see a lot of great talent coming out of Puerto Rico, starting with yourself, starting with a lot of the guys you're starting to see on, you know, AEW, a lot of these promotions now, like yeah. You said. Do you have a chance to watch a lot of the current product, whether it be WWE, NXT, AEW? Do you have time for that? Or
to be honest, not. Since I left the company in 1999, we opened Puerto Rico, the International Wrestling Association, IWA. And since that day, we just concentrate on what we do in here in Puerto Rico. We do some business with them. We bring some guys from the company. You know, Vince gave me the chance to bring Faker here and some of the other boys. And it was great. So we just concentrate big time in the product, of course. By that time, I still watched a little bit of WWF, Monday Night Raw, but come to a point where busy big time with the company. So since that day, my friend, I didn't even watch too much wrestling.
Yeah.
What's your favorite wrestling championship belt of all time?
Always the NWA belt. I love that belt. Always.
The AWA?
NWA.
Oh. Oh, the 10 pounds of gold?
No, the first one. The one the Harley Race carry and Ric Flair. That belt, always.
Oh, yeah, that's the 10 pounds of gold.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Man.
So the one that's currently held by Nick Aldis.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that belt. Always. That belt is, I don't know, you know, but I love that kind of belt.
So especially with the WWE now, you've seen a lot of former or past, a lot of the boys going into behind the scenes roles. Is down the road, you know, things are going real well for you down there in Puerto Rico. WWE comes and knocks and says, hey, we were looking, we want to bring you in as some sort of like advisement role or producer role, something backstage. Is that something you're thinking about possibly doing if it comes a knocking, or are you pretty much settled right there in Puerto Rico?
Well, if it's a job for me, of course, why not? I mean, you cannot tell somebody not for a good job that you love to do. You know, if the chance is there, yes, of course I will do. And you know, I'm going to do something that I love to do. So it's helping the guys to get better and better and get paid for it. Let's do it.
If you could have created your own gimmick when you came to the WWF, what would it have been? Would you have just kept like the TNT thing going?
Or? Yeah, the TNT, of course, because the TNT was natural for me, coming with the Taekwondo background, kicks and real art martial arts. And I keep doing the TNT. It's like I said,
I've never gotten the opportunity to see you as TNT, so I'm going to have to do some digging. But yeah, everything I've read, you were a hell of a heel.
Well, I did both. I did both, babyface and heel. But check, you go on YouTube and put TNT, and you're going to see a bunch of stuff there. I mean,
all right, I'll check it out tonight when we're done.
You could see stuff when I was starting, and you could see the greenness of me, you know, till I was getting better and better and better. Then later was another story.
You know, one last thing I just want to touch on before we close shop for tonight. we mentioned the great feud that you had with Steve Austin. Another feud that I noticed and I enjoyed too was your feud with Dustin Reynolds, Goldust. Just absolutely phenomenal. And it was compare and contrast, your feud with Steve. And how was it working with Dustin? Because we've heard a lot of, you know, the rumor and innuendo, I guess you could say, is, you know, his character at that time was, they're trying to ease into it a little bit. They didn't want to do too much or too little. How did you adapt to working with that type of character and with Dustin?
Well, the story with Dustin is he was already in the company, and I remember seeing him week by week, Monday by Monday, dress with the paint and sit down just right there. And one day I remember I said to him, "Man, what's going on with you? I see you there all the time," and he's already like down, you know. I asked him, "What happened? Why you don't work?" He said, "They don't know what they're gonna do to, you know, with me." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, they don't know what to do with the character." I said, "I know what to do with the character." He said, "Really?" I said, "Yes." "Can I talk to Pat?" I said, "Talk to Pat." So I left, I don't know where. When I come back, here's Pat and Dustin. He said, "Savio, Dustin says that you know how to work with the character." I said, "Well, I guess yes. I think I have an idea." He said, "Well, put it together. You go in the ring." I looked Dustin as you son of a gun. You know, I was off that day. And I say, "Yeah, let's do it." So we sit down and put together a routine. You know, a routine that, you know, hey, the first thing I asked him was, I mean, you are what? I mean, by that time, your character is a flamboyant guy. I mean, what are you? I mean, you are a statue, you know, an Oscar or something like that, you know, but what? He said, "Well, I don't know. It's going to be in the progress of what we're doing." I said, "All right." So we sit down and I put a routine together and let's do it in the ring. So, you know, after we did the first match, and I start putting more stuff in the character, move this, let's do that, let's, you know, manage how get the character. And one of the first things we did was we look up, spin me around, he's behind me, and the first thing he do is to start touching me. So it's like I was close, like I don't understand what the hell he's doing. So I'm like, "What the hell?" So I turn around, I saw you, but was a fight. So here comes this fight, and he's, you know, going back. So, okay, next one is going to be the same, but you're going to touch me from my heels up, all the way, you know. So even my face, so same thing. So now I'm hearing the people, reaction. So that's the way we start putting, you know, step by step his character. Come to a point in where we did a move in where he's climbing the ropes, and here I get up, I kick his leg, he crutches himself in the corner. So when I'm up, kick him, and, you know, and I'm ready to give him a suplex, he stopped me, and he's like a kiss me. So the people look like it was a real kiss, but what he do, put his hands here, and when he put his cheek in my mouth, so you could see the pain, and looked like it was a kiss. So when that happened, I took a bump, you know, from the second rope to the middle of the ring. So when he come and jump on me, last second, I put my foot up and he hits his chin. And man, you could hear the reaction of the people. We work hard. Like I said, when I work with Steve, you know, work hard to get the people's money worth. And hey, that's what I know to do. And but I work with him so many, many times and have fun. Fun.
I have one last question for you.
Yes.
And this revolves around another legend in Puerto Rico and somebody who hasn't quite made it where they need to be here in the United States. And I hope that we get more of them. And I really think WWE dropped the ball, but What are your thoughts on Carly Colon?
Oh, Carly, this is the father's company. That's going to be his company one of these days. I mean, Carly is a great performer. What an attitude. What a performance. He just went to the pay-per-view, and you could see his physique. He looked better now than he was looking 20 years ago. I mean, and Eddie, Primo, also. I mean, Orlandito, they're all great guys. They born in this business, especially Carly. The character that he performed with the, you know, bad guy or whatever, the Apple brother. I mean, what a performer. I'm happy when I saw him there. Very, very happy. I'm a little disappointed they don't grab him and have him there right now. My thought was when he was in the pay-per-view, that they're going to hire him and he's going to be in this WrestleMania. But, I mean, the finger went the other way. But, I mean, we still above the earth. So hope anytime see him in WWE.
I'm hoping soon. We get him back. He was in Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
And then he was on Raw the next night.
Yes.
And then he was gone from there, and it just.
But what a performance! Good attitude in the ring. He know what to do in the ring. He got that Puerto Rican timing because he come from here. He come from the ground in Puerto Rico, and he know how to manage the people.
I absolutely loved his character back in probably what was about the 05 time range when he started coming in. And he was something else, and I never quite understood how it never evolved more. It's just one of those things. Vince McMahon doesn't see it, but he looked amazing when he came back for the Royal Rumble.
Ooh. They put him in Puerto Rico. Somebody put pictures of when he was there in the beginning and pictures now. And man, he looked better right now. He was looking big, better shape. I mean, even the hair bigger. But
I always wondered if maybe. Because he wasn't the most jacked guy ever, not the tallest guy, if that was maybe what held him back. Because he had the mic skills. He had the skills in the ring. So it didn't add up.
Mm-hmm. No, Carly's a great performer. Hope to see him soon in WWE ring.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, to close shop, just – thank you so much for making time for us. We really do appreciate it. Plug what you got coming up, shows the and whatnot, people, ways people can get a hold of you and follow you.
Yeah, well, on Instagram, the people could check on Tio Savio Vega, T-I-O, Tio Savio Vega. Well, the people could check on me on Instagram as Tio Savio Vega, which is T-I-O Savio Vega on Instagram. On Facebook, they could check Savio Vega official fan page, and also check on IWA Puerto Rico, where you can see what we're doing with wrestling in Puerto Rico also, because we are partnered with the company, WWC.com. You could check what we are doing in wrestling here, man. And thank you guys for having me. It's a pleasure. And let's do the second time anytime soon.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Savio. Really do appreciate it.
Absolutely loved it. Just followed you on Instagram and Twitter. I'll get on your Facebook page here shortly. We really do appreciate you taking the time out to do this with us. I mean, we're just a small little podcast, just two guys having fun.
Nice.
And, you taking time out of your day for us is incredible, and we really thank you.
Thank you very much. And also, like you say, on Twitter, to be at Savio Vega, at IWA Puerto Rico, and at Ninja TNT. So, check in on it.
There you go. Awesome.
Bless you.
A big thank you goes out to Mr. Savio Vega for coming on the Ringside Rant this week. Go over and follow him across all the social medias. Check out his great promotion down there in Puerto Rico. While you're doing that, head over to wherever you get your great podcasts and make sure you subscribe to the Ringside Rant across all your major podcasting platforms, including FullPressCoverage.com, as well as the Shining Wizards Wrestling Network. Big thank you to both of those two platforms for allowing us to be on their great, great networks. Head over to RingsideRant.WhatForApparel.com to check out all the great, great merchandise that we have for the Ringside Rant. Purchase it, take a screenshot, send it to us, and we'll give you a shout out on the show as well as on social medias. We appreciate each and every one of you and appreciate everybody over at What For Apparel. You can follow us across all your social medias at underscore ringside rant, as well as Dave in the QC. Thank you, each and every one of you, for telling your friends, telling your family to listen to the Ringside Rant and joining us right here in Ranters Nation.